If you haven't already gotten one, there's also some brochures on information about the offering and the work that they're doing. And one of the things, I don't know if you realize, that part of the, we used to call it home missions. Now it's North American missions. I have to get used to that, you know, that changeover when they, but one of the important things that they do, one of the things they consider missionaries for North American missions is our chaplains in the service. And I don't know if you knew that, so we always need to remember them and the work that they're doing with the military. But we will be taking up this offering through Easter, but this is the week of prayer from last Sunday to this Sunday, and I'll have some more prayer on that in just a little bit. So let's remember that in your prayers and in your giving. Lester Brent's service, Bonnie and Shirley's brother, service will be at 2 o'clock in Kilmarnock this afternoon. Let's pray the storm holds off. And so remember that. Communications Committee meeting Tuesday, March 18th at 7 p.m. See John Harper with any questions. WMA fundraising luncheon next week. We're going to eat again. I'm going to tell you something. The ladies here, I'm going to tell you something. You know how to put on a meal. I'm going to tell you. Of all the church I've had some good cooks and some good meals, but you're at the top of the list. So, and this is for donations for contributions to them so they can continue to do their work. And then they're having a luncheon Monday the 24th at Golden Eagle Grill at 364 Clubhouse Road in Irvington. Please arrive by 11:30 a.m. The sign-up sheet is in the fellowship hall. See Bootsy Burgess with any questions. And then Senior Saints Ministry Monday, March 31st at 7 p.m. And Deacons of WMA meetings Tuesday, April 8th at 7 p.m. And then Fairport Baptist Church Children and Youth Easter celebration, Saturday, April 12th, 2 to 4, and all ages are welcome. Parents are welcome to stay or drop off children. There will be crafts, games, devotion, sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. See Michelle Jenkins with any questions. All right. Is there any other announcements, anything else we need? Yes, ma'am. Wanda? Okay. Anybody else? We got anybody? Everybody? Y'all are flying back there. Son. Who you got going on there? You got a helper. Okay. If nothing else, I'm going to ring the bell, and you can get up and welcome your neighbors this morning, and then when I ring it, you'll have some. All right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here this morning. We can be here in your presence. To know that you're here with us, to know that you are waiting to see how we react and respond to you and your word, and how we behave ourselves as we go out into the world after this service, and to know that you expect us to be ambassadors for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much that you've given us salvation in him. And we thank you that we can have this church, we can have this fellowship, and we pray that you'll continue to put your blessings upon it, and especially in this hour of worship and praise. And all that we do, we glorify the name of Jesus, for we come in his holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.
There is one Lord. be seated.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well on this beautiful day. Let the children come. Come on down, kids. We'll have a morning talk. I've got my helper with me to help. And I am so glad about that. Are you going to stay there? That's fine. You're right in front. I like that. Hey, man. How you doing? What'd you bring? Oh, that's cool. I like that. Really? I used to make those things. Guess what? I woke up early this morning. Jack and I saw the sunrise. So the sun did come up, and then the clouds rolled in. Oh, you got a paper airplane too. You did. You told me just right. Have you guys ever had one of those days where you feel cloudy? You feel like it's clouds and raining and yucky? Yeah, you too? Yeah, me too. But you know what's good is we know Jesus is the light. And we know with him, it'll shine. So, I know, you're right. Well, look at my tie. I wore my weather tie today. I got tornadoes and lightning and sunshine. What's this one right here?
Sun and cloud.
Yeah, but what's this thing?
Tornado.
No, this one right here.
A rainbow.
A rainbow. Weren't we talking about rainbows a couple weeks ago?
I like tornadoes.
You like tornadoes? What do you say, Jack? It was foggy yesterday. That was really neat. So we were talking about rainbows, and you know, just like I'm having a cloudy day sometimes, but God, who promised us, gave us a rainbow and made that promise to us that we'd never have a big flood again, he also uses the rainbow to remind us that his light shines through. Because, Charlie, you can't have a rainbow unless what? Unless there's rain, and then you have to have what else?
Oh, you also have to have
sunshine. That's right. So the sun comes at the end of the rain.
And then it blows out a rainbow.
That's right. And then you get a nice rainbow above to remind us that God's light is shining through and better days are to come. So let's remember that next time we see a rainstorm and a rainbow comes out, remember that's God's light shining on us, because the Bible tells us, what's that? I bet you did. And you know what? I hope you see many more rainbows. Hey, can we say a little prayer before we go back? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special day ahead of us. We know that there are clouds, and with clouds will come rain showers and possibly some rainstorms. But through you, the light will shine and all will be good. So help us remember this. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. Airplane. See you later. So I guess I could zip myself up. I guess we have some weather to talk about. I've been asked to give a little update on the forecast. I don't think we'll have the storms they had in the Midwest and the South. But we will expect some heavy rain tonight. So this evening, say from 4 o'clock on, there could be a thunderstorm with gusty winds. We may even have a severe thunderstorm watch. I'm not anticipating any problems for northeastern Virginia. But we could get an inch or two of rain overnight. So something to be alert for. Real good to see you here in the house, Mr. Doug. Did you have a good birthday? It was a good praise this week. Mr. Doug celebrated, which was this? 88. Whoa. And counting. So, as Doug said, that leaves 12 more, right? Hey, we have another praise in the house, and I always love hearing these praise. Robin and Chip, you have some exciting news. What's that? Grandson in September. What wonderful news indeed. You know, things are tough. We celebrated a funeral yesterday. We've got another funeral today, another funeral last week. Times are tough. But when we look God has promised us that this world is good, and we can find praises where we look. Anybody else have anything to share with us this morning before we go to prayer? Well, just keep everybody in your hearts and minds and in prayers. If there's somebody that needs our attention, please let one of us know so we can be in touch.
Thank you. 88. I don't know if I've told y'all, I had my grandmother, Hughes's mother, she wanted to live to be 100. She made it to 99 and 11 months. So I guess you said she made it, huh? And I'll tell you this real quick, she was a McLean, and she married a Doxy, but McLean family is Scottish royalty and goes back. Clan chiefs lived in castles in Scotland. So I got some royalty in my blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you this morning. We can come to you in prayer to know the great gift that you've given us, and that you're there listening to us. And you know before we even asked what we're going to say. But first off, we want to thank you. Thank you for all the wonderful and great things that you do for us each day, and the things that you will continue to do in our own individual lives and as a church. And we thank you especially for the gift of eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, this morning for our missions, for our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We know that these monies that we give will go to the work on this continent, and that will help people in many aspects of life. We know there are many in need, and especially the need of salvation. They need to hear of Jesus Christ. And we know through our giving, we have a great part in that, to see that more people receive the gospel and receive Jesus Christ. And we pray that you continue to work with our missionaries and to guide them, comfort them, and give them what they need in order to get out their work and share the gospel. And we pray, Father, for those in our church family that are healing from surgeries and injuries and other problems in their lives. We pray that your healing hand would be upon them, heal them safely, bring them back to us. And we pray, we know we've had some deaths in our church family and here in these last days, but we can take comfort in knowing that these ones that have gone to be with you. Someday we can be reunited with them. But give the family and friends the comfort that they need to go through these tough times, but to fill their hearts in ways only you can do it. And be with us as we go through this service now. We're intent upon listening to your word, both in the scriptures and in the song, and that all that we do is to your glory and honor as we lift up the name of Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Next, I'm offered to a hymn this morning is Victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Stand as we sing, 353.
Oh,
A little boy was praying at bedtime with his mother. Lord bless mommy and daddy. Then real loud he said, God, give me a new bicycle. Mom said, son, God's not deaf. You don't have to shout. The boy said, I know, but grandma's in the next room and she's hard of hearing. Lanky Billy Graham fell head over heels for a girl student in the Florida Bible Institute. But the girl dismissed Billy as not having enough purpose in life. Billy transferred to Wheaton College and met Ruth Bell, pretty daughter of a former missionary to China. He was impressed when he heard that she spent 2 hours in Bible reading and prayer each morning. They began dating, fell in love, and were married 3 months after their graduation. Years later, after Billy Graham had become a world-famous evangelist, Ruth Graham met the girl from Florida. The meeting came at a close of a meeting in Boston, which 1,500 answered Billy's call to come to Christ. Ruth Graham smiled at the woman and said, many times I thank God for answering my prayers regarding a husband. Now I'd like to thank you for making it possible for Billy to be that answer. The truth came out. Part of Ruth Bell's praying while in college had been for a Christian husband. Not just a man, she had asked God, but one with character, ruggedness of soul, and a life dedicated to God. She prayed for a husband, and God had given her his man. We're going to look again this morning at the Sermon on the Mount. Week before last, we looked at the rites for motive, and then somehow I goofed and we ended up fasting last week. But we're going to get back to how to pray today, and we're going to look at the model prayer. Now, there was two fellows got into a religious discussion one day, and they were trying to say which one was saying was more religious than the other. And one looked at one and the other. He says, I bet you can't even say the Lord's Prayer. He said, I'll bet you I can. How much? He said, I'll put $20 on it. He said, okay. He says, just go ahead and say it. He said, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Another fellow looked at him, pulled out 20 and says, here, I didn't think you could do it. We're going to look at what Jesus instructs us here to do, to include in our prayer. And so I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, and then we're going to look at how to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. First, to our Heavenly Father. This implies a relationship. A person, us, to a Father. Now, I hope that there are probably some, I hope none in here, but some don't have a very good image, that didn't have a father, they didn't know him, or they had an abusive father. That's sad. But to most of us, and I know, I can look back, I had a father that I thank God for almost every time I pray, I think about my God, my father, my mother. I had a godly father, and he was one I could go to, and he was one I could talk to and share with. And he would, I know sometimes I thought my parents was dumb as dirt, but then I learned as I got older that I was the one who was dumb as dirt. But he had some great wisdom and some great advice. And I can remember one of the things when He had retired from the Navy after 22 years, and then about a year and a half later, I joined the Navy, and when I joined it and he got ready to leave, he looked at me and says, "Son, I hope you know what you're doing." He says, "Because once you leave here and once you get there, there's no turnaround and coming back." And I went. I joined an office. They took us to Richmond, swore us in, put us on a plane to Chicago, and then on a train from Chicago to the Great Lakes. Got there about 1 or 2 in the morning. And there was this great hall there. And they had racks, you know, the bunks, you know, and we crawled into those. And it was about 5:30 in the morning. We were getting us out. And then I was thinking about, oh, I can't go home. But the wise advice. So God is our heavenly Father, the one that we can go to. And in order for us to do that, new birth is required. John 14:13, "And whosoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." When you pray, you should be praying in Jesus' name. Always include that in your prayer. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. What also is, he's our high priest. And he's the one that sits there intercessing for us at the throne. Our Father. Now look, I say our Father, that's community. That's all of us. He's all of our Father. It encompasses the whole family of God. We're here, we're a section of the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Too often, our prayers are selfish. Me and my needs come first in a lot of people's prayers, and sometimes that's all it is. Philippians 2:4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." We need to be thinking about others and their needs when we pray. Intercessory prayer. To our heavenly Father. What is that? He's on heaven's throne. He is the sovereign God, the only one true living God. And he is worthy of our faith. Faithfulness has no part in prayer life. It says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." James 1:16-17, "Do not err, my beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning." And then we pray on his promises. John 16:23, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." He will give it to you. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. It's to a holy God. What does it say? Hallowed be thy name. He is holy and must be approached with fear and reverence. Don't take it lightly. He is Lord over all. And he's to be treated with honor and glory and majesty. Just as if we don't have kings and queens today in this country. Now some still do. And they treat him as his majesty or her majesty. And they bow before him. That's the way we do with God. Can only access him in the name that is above every name. Philippians 2:9-11. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's put this on it. The only way to God. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In his name, John 14:13, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus, the only way. I know there are people out there that say we're kind of narrow-minded, and that we have the only way. It's the only way. And let me tell you something, people, if you got a problem with it, don't come to me. Take it up with God, because it's his way. And that's what he says. What to pray for? For God's kingdom, first off. For Jesus to return. The coming kingdom. Someday he's coming back and he's going to rule and reign over this that is his. And so we need to realize that God is in our lives. And for his kingdom to expand on earth, we want to see more and more people come to know him. And that means he'll rule in more people's lives. He rules in the believer's life. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He must be in absolute control of our lives in every part of it. Some people compartmentalize different parts of their lives and they don't want God in all of it, but he's supposed to be in all of it. He's supposed to be in our personal lives, in our public lives, and our pocketbooks. That's one place a lot of people don't want him to get. But we are to share him in everything. For God's will, what does it say? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 1 John 5:14-15, if we ask anything according to his will, when we pray, it's got to be in his will. And if it's in his will, he's going to tend to it. Prayer moves heaven down to earth. Here's the next thing. Our daily bread. The necessities of life. It didn't say, give me a steak and lobster, baked potato. Didn't say, give me caviar and all this other stuff. But the basic necessities of life. Of course, bread is considered a necessity of life. Now, he wants us to have the necessity of life. He wants us to be able to have enough food for us to survive and to live on. Also, to pray for work. Why do we need work? We need to earn money in this society in order to pay for our daily bread and for all the other things that help us in our lives. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in the glory by Jesus Christ. Here's the next thing. Pray for forgiveness. Why? We're sinners. And even after we're saved, we still make mistakes. We still sin. We pray for ourselves first. 1 John 1:8-10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Philippians 3:2, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. We pray for our forgiveness of ourselves and our own shortcomings. Then we pray for the forgiveness of others. An unforgiving spirit can totally destroy one's prayer life. You cannot hold something against somebody. They've done something to you, and then you don't want to let go of it. You don't want to forgive. You got a problem. Unforgiveness can fill one's heart with bitterness, anger, hate, rage, anxiety, depression, and so forth. Here are three reasons why we should practice forgiving others. One, you're more like God when you forgive. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You're doing exactly what Christ requires of us to do. Second thing, it is only reasonable that those who are forgiven are forgave. The massive debt we owe to God for our sin, that compares in small, insignificant, as to what people have done to us. Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if we forgive not them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Failure to forgive results in chastening. That's when God corrects his children. That's when he takes out the switch of correction. I've been down that path. Now, you've heard me say it, and I'll say it again. The most miserable person in the world is a Christian who's out of walk with their Lord. When we choose not to forgive, we're breaking our fellowship with God. We bring on his rod of correction because of bitterness and resentment. Also, here's the next thing in prayer, that we're delivered from temptation and from evil. We're all tempted. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. The temptation doesn't come from God. It comes from whatever you want to call him, Satan, Beelzebub, whatever. He's got a bunch of names. The devil. That's where it comes from. And we pray that God will direct our paths to avoid those temptations. And one of the things is we don't go into places that we knowingly will be tempted. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. A lot of it, we draw ourselves into it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I know sometimes we get into situations, we think, I don't know if I can take this. But you need to look to the one that can take it away from you and get you through it. Prayer for the power of God to shelter us from the power of the evil one. I know sometimes I can tell when a temptation's coming on from him. Lord, I say, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Get away from me. He can't take that. Give me pure thoughts. Give me a pure heart. Give me a pure tongue. That usually takes care of it. But recognize it before it goes too far. To help us avoid the pitfalls of sin. Now, our prayer should be a praise to God. For his kingdom, a praise to the king. He's the king of the universe. He deserves to be glorified. Several reasons. One, he made all of this. He made us. And then he saved us. After he made us, we got into a mess, and then he has saved us. So he deserves it. for his power. He's to be praised for his abilities. There's nothing he can't do. Just think about all that we have here in this universe. And he put it together and put it in order. For the times he's demonstrated his power. We see times that we look in the Bible, in the scriptures, we can see times that he's exhibited his power. I look at my own personal life and I look at the power that he did in me. And I hope and pray that each and every one of you can look and see the power that he's done in your lives. For the times he's demonstrated his power in our lives. For his glory. He deserves to receive all the glory. We need to give him all the glory, all the credit. What does it say in the scriptures? Without him, I can do nothing. He should be glorified on earth as he is in heaven. Is there anything in your life that is keeping God from hearing and answering your prayer? Think about that for a minute. Is there unconfessed sin? Is there an unforgiving spirit? Is there disbelief? Is your prayer selfish? Or are you just plain lost? You don't know Jesus yet. You need to come to God in open, honest confession. You're only fooling yourself when you try to sideline stuff or try. You're not fooling God. He knows. So go open, honest confession. He knows when you're serious. He knows when you say you're serious about forgive me for whatever it is you've done. He knows you're serious when there are particular things that you pray about in his will, about your own personal life, in your work in the church, your work as a witness for him, or as praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ, for those in need, those that are hurting. When one of our family members hurt, we all should hurt. When one of our family members is joy, we should all be joyous. You must come to him as a child of God. The question is he your Savior? That's what's so important. And people out there in the world today, and I see this, and they think they're going to pray for things, but they don't know Jesus, and they don't realize God's not listening because you're not going through his Son. He sent him into this world to die for us, to earn that, to be our high priest. He earned it. I always think about earning things. You know, some people think they're owed everything. You ain't owed anything. I did this. I didn't do my father's funeral. But the family asked me, would I get up and talk about my dad? And I said, yes, I will. And I talked about how my dad was a good father, was a good husband, how much he loved my mother, how much he had did for all of us through our lives, the sacrifices he made when we were growing up, all that stuff. And then I talked about how much my mother and us loved him. It's because he deserved it. He earned it. And that's what Jesus did for us. He earned it. Amen. And he did it because we were worthless sinners. I can't think of no other way to tell you that. Some people get offended. You go out to a stranger and tell them they're a sinner. You know, they might slug you. But it's the truth. So do you know him today for surety? Do you know he's your Lord and Savior? If not, it's time of invitation. You can come and receive him. Maybe you need to come, rededicate, recommit your life for something. Something you need to come, leave at the altar. And if you're not a member of this church, but you've been coming and worshiping, attending here, move your letter here. You can come, move your letter and be a part of this church. I'm looking for great and wonderful things to come as we go on in this church. I really am. I expect a lot from y'all. I think y'all expect a lot from me too, so we'll see. But anyway, let's do it to the Lord's honor and glory as we do the invitation this morning. Hymn number 690, He Leadeth Me. Oops. Spoke to you this morning, and I'll be this door today, okay, back over here, and so I will walk over there. I'm going to do the benediction, and God go with you when you go today, okay? So I'm going back here. Now, give me a second. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be together here in your house today, and we pray that we've glean some things from your word today, and we've been rewarded with the fellowship one with another, and that we take all this out into the world and share it with our neighbors and bring us safely back, for we go in Jesus' name. Amen.